Good morning, everybody. Thank you for that beautiful prayer. Thank you for these beautiful songs. And thank you all for coming here. Especially, like you said, those are came from a little far away than us, farther than us. As you can see, the lesson is on the board. We're going to talk about love this morning. And who doesn't want to talk about love anyway? I guess we all do. There are four different types of love, as you can see on the board. What we need to do is we need to become a more loving person as God's children. And our goal is this. We need to reach this goal. 1, 2, 3, to me, is almost automatic. That's the easy part. It's just those three right there. Anybody could do that. But we need to reach this goal right here. Because if we don't reach this goal, we're going to go to this in a little while. God will not be pleased. I don't believe it myself. I'll be speaking for myself because I'm not here to judge or to evaluate anybody. But if I don't reach to this goal, I don't know if I can go to heaven. Like I said, we're going to go through that why. You know, when you think about love, love is probably the most misunderstood word in the world. Part of the problem is that we use this one word to describe many things. We water down its meaning by overuse. I love you. I love America. I love pizza. I love my dog. I would love to have my back rubbed. You see, we use the word love in so many different ways that it has lost literally its meaning. You know, when you're giving, excuse me, my mouth is getting dry. Giving or receiving love is difficult when we don't even understand what it is. So first, we need to clear up a couple of popular misconceptions about love. You know, most people think love is a feelings, a sentimental nut in the stomach, or a quiver in the liver, an ocean of emotion. True, love does produce feelings, but it is more than a feeling. Another misconception is that love is uncontrollable. Have you ever said, I fell in love? What does that mean? You fell in love. As if you have tripped. We assume that love cannot be controlled. A lot of people say, I can't help myself. I just don't love him anymore. We talk as if love is uncontrollable. But the Bible says love is controllable. We're going to go through the Bible. In fact, Jesus commands that we love others. His words indicate that we do have control over whom we love and whom we do not love. Love is at the core two things. First, it's a matter of choice. The Bible says on Colossians 3:14, when you have a chance, read your Bible. Colossians 3:14, Bible says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Notice those two little words, put on. You see, love is something we can choose to have. If it were a feeling, we could not command it, but we can command a choice. And love is a choice. It is controllable. The Bible also says that love is a matter of conduct. 1 John 3:18. Love is something we do, an action, not a feelings. The Apostle John expressed it this way. 1 John 3:18. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. You know, I'm guilty on this part too. Too often, we love with words, but not with actions. I wrote down there, the Greek had four words to differentiate different types of love. Storge, natural affection. That's what it means. Eros means sexual attraction. Phila means emotional affection or friendship. And the goal, agape, which means unconditional, giving, and sacrificial love. You know, when the Bible speaks of God is love for us, and the kind of love we are to have for Him and for other people, the word is always agape, signifying a command to act. Do you know that it is possible to love someone you don't even like? Check this out. That's why you gotta reach this goal, otherwise you're not gonna love those people that you don't like. Check this out. For God to teach us to love, what did He do? He puts us around some unlovely people. This is how we're going to learn. Because it is easy to love people who are kind and lovely. But if God is going to teach us to love, He will bring some hard to love people into our lives. You know, the fact is, our lives are full of people we don't like. We don't like the way some people talk. We don't like the way some act. We don't like the way others dress. But most of all, we tend not to like people who don't like us. You know, everyone is hard to love some of the time. Even you, even me. But some people are hard to love at any time. You know, Jesus demanded that we need to have a warm affection for everyone. He didn't have warm affection for the Pharisees. We don't have to like everyone. Isn't that a relief? But we do have to love them. So how do we do that? So we can reach this agape. The Bible tells us there are 5 steps. A short one. And I'm going to give you that so you don't have to think if it's going to take too long. It's going to be short 5 steps. We need to take to learn to love people. so we can reach agape. But before we look at them, I want you to picture in your mind the person whom you find the hardest to love. We're going to go to that agape love now. How are we going to reach it? Think about these obnoxious relatives. Hard to love person, the hardest. This is how you're going to develop agape. The hardest person to love. An obnoxious relative. A troublesome neighbor. Or disagreeable co-worker. We have a lot of those at work. How can you learn to love this kind of person? Here are five steps, like I said earlier. Number one, experience God's love. First, before we can love others, we must feel and understand how God deeply loves us. Ephesians 3:14-21. The whole enchilada right there. He wrote it down. But I'm going to read only 17:18. It says, Ephesians 3:17-18. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart, living within you as you trust in Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. These words are powerful. And maybe, check this out, you'll be able to feel and understand, and all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high this love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves. See that? Circle the words feel, understand, and experience in that passage. You see, God wants us to feel His love. And He wants us to understand His love. Why? 1 John 4:19 says that we love because God first loves us. Why is it important to feel loved by God? You know why? Because unloved people are often unloving people. You see, when I don't feel genuinely loved, I do not feel like giving love. So first, we have to experience God's love ourselves. John 15:12, Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. What he's saying here is, I agape love you, and agape love others. Number two, forgive your enemies. This is the real test now. You're going to find out if you have this agape love or not, or if you have developed it in your lives. Second steps in learning to love others is forgiving those who have hurt us. Colossians 3:13. You know, because it is impossible to love anyone fully at the same time resent someone else. You become hypocrites. To begin loving people today, we must close the door on the past. And that cannot happen without forgiveness. Forgive those who have hurt you for your sake. Not because they deserve it. Do it so your heart can be whole again. You see, the people from your past cannot continue to hurt you today unless you allow them to hurt you by holding on to resentments against them. See, anytime you resent someone, you give that person a piece of your heart, a piece of your attention, a piece of your mind. Do you want that person to have that? No. So take it back by forgiving. Forgive those who have hurt you instead of rehearsing that hurts over and over. You gotta release it. Number three, think loving thoughts. The next step in learning to love others is to think loving thoughts. God's words remind us on Philippians 2:4-5. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and in what they are doing. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ. What does it mean to think loving thoughts? It means we begin to focus on others' people's needs, their hurts, their problems, their godly desires, goals, not just on our own. As the old saying goes, it is easier to understand someone else when we walk a mile in their moccasins. You see, hurt people hurt people. If someone is hurting you, that person is doing so because he or she is hurting. So what we're going to do is we need to look behind people's faults and see their needs. Then we can learn to love. Number four, act in love. The four steps in learning to love others is to act in a loving way. Well, you see, Roland, you're telling me to act lovingly towards someone I don't even like? I could not do that. I will be hypocrites. No. This is called loving by faith. Now, how do we act in a loving way? Luke chapter 6, 27, 28. Jesus gives us some hope. Luke 6, 27, 28. I'm going to warn you now. This is one of the hardest, and it's going to get harder. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. He commands us to do four specific things. First, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. You know, It's hard enough to love our own family, physical and spiritual. That's why we got to develop the agape. How much more harder is the hardest to love our enemy? How are we going to do that? How do we love someone who is hurting us, our enemy? What we need to do, we must overlook his faults. Ephesians 4:2. Then Jesus commands us to do good. But how do we do good to people we don't even like? We look for ways to give them. What can we do to serve them? Meet their needs, help them, and benefit them? We can give. We can go the second mile we can discover their needs and respond to them. It's going to get harder. Jesus also says to bless those who cuss us. What does he mean by that? He is referring to the way we talk about and talk to those who treat us badly. You know, at work or anywhere, there's always somebody talking behind your back. These are your enemies or not enemies, vice versa. But that happens all the time. Especially those who are enemy and those who curse us. A blessing. Proverbs 12:18. You know, a blessing is a positive word spoken to or about others. You know, we don't put them down. We lift them up. It's only natural for a lot of people that, of course, you know, when somebody talk down on you, you talk down back on them. But in order to accomplish agape, you're going to reverse that situation. You're going to do opposite. We encourage them. Proverbs 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise brings healings. Finally, Jesus commands us to pray for those who mistreat us. I tell you, it's getting harder and harder. Have you tried doing that? Pray for those who mistreat us? These are not natural. Praying for people will not only change them, but also change us. So how should we pray? We pray that God will bless people who are mistreating us, because the goodness of God leads to repentance. Perhaps God will bless these people so much that they will want to change. But even if they don't change right away, praying for them will change our attitude toward them. That's the whole thing. And number 5, expects the best. Expects the best. The last steps in learning to love others may in some ways be the most difficult. Expect the best of those you don't like. First, Corinthians 13:7 says, if you love someone, you will always believe in him. Always expect the best of him. You see, love expects the best. Have you discovered that we tend to live up to what people expect of us? When we expect the best, we bring out the best. This is loving by faith. And loving by faith is the greatest force in the world. No, love is contagious and it changes people. It can transform a personality. Well, you may be thinking, well, I would like to change my mate to become a more loving person. Do you know how to do that? When I say mate, your spouse, I can tell you the secret in one sentence. This is how you can change anyone. Your mate, your children, co-worker. This is how you're going to do. Treat that person the way you want him or her to become. Do you want your mate to succeed? Treat your mate as he or she is a successful person. Do you want your children to be smart? Treat them as if they are intelligent, not ignorant. Do not do this as an act of manipulation, but because you genuinely believe in them. Love expects the best. We're closing now. Let me give you my final thought. Like I said earlier, we need to become a more loving person until we reach this word, agape. God will not be pleased until we accomplish that or reach that goal. You cannot truly love God with all your heart. That's number one commandments. You probably can do the second commandments with these three, but not the first commandments if you don't have agape love. You can't even love your enemy if you don't have agape love. Because these three right here it's not good enough. They're not deep enough. Anybody could do the number three. 1, 2, 3. Until you develop agape love, because it really hurts, but it feels so good. When you truly love God, like we have Bible study this morning, you're going to use all parts of your body. You're going to serve Him with all your heart. Not until you develop agape love. Can you believe it? Can you imagine this? If all of us develop the agape love, there won't be a room here for everybody to sit down. Because it's contagious. We have to lock up the door just to overflow. If you develop agape love, I can guarantee you that, because it works. You know, one of the highest ways we love God is by loving people. Why? Because if we do not love people who are created in God's image, we cannot love God. Matthew 22:37-39 and 1 John 4:20. It's time to offer the invitation. 2 Peter 3:9. God wants all to be saved. He's not willing that anyone should perish. See, God has never made a person He didn't love. Everybody matters to Him. We're extending the invitation now. If you're not a Christian, if you're not yet a member of the body, we're going to help you how to become. See, when Jesus stretched His arm wide out on the cross, He's saying, I love you this much. Would you accept the plan of salvation? And be faithful till death, Revelation 2:10. But if we're already a member, we need to become more a loving person until we reach this goal, agape. We gotta develop this if we really love God and wanna go to heaven. If we truly love God and wanna love our enemy, it cannot be done without agape. So that's my lesson for today, and thank for listening. I hope I encourage you, lift you up, and think about what I just said. I'll think it too, because it's for me too at the same time. So let us stand and sing the invitation song.